Here today to remember the life and honor the memory of Christine Miller. Romans 8, 16, 18 says this, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Sister Chris suffered much, but is now in the presence of the Lord Jesus. Please take the black hymnal and turn to number 578. We'll sing all the verses.
I love to think of my home above in the glorious realms of light, of the pearly gates and the golden streets in the land where there is no night. Home, sweet home, happy home.
Bow our heads for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, our Lord and our God, we express praise to you for who you are, creator of our lives, the sustainer, one who provided a way of salvation and who's given us a hope for our own salvation, but to see our loved ones again. We're thankful for that hope today that we'll see our sister Chris. Lord, we're also hurting. Our hearts hurt today. We pray a special grace, pouring out of your grace upon us, especially upon Brother Glenn and all the sons, and that you'll continue to minister healing, comfort to them. May this service not only honor Chris's life, but also lift up the name of our Lord Jesus. is what our desire and our prayer. It's his name we pray. Amen. Christine M. Lookaball Miller, age 65, of Hanover, passed away at home on July 27th, 2025. She was the loving wife of Glenn N. Miller. Together they shared 40 years of marriage. Christine was born in Hanover, Pennsylvania on October 6, 1959, was the daughter of Stuart and Mary Stumball Lookaball. She graduated from Messiah College, was a member of Pleasant Hill Brethren Church in Spring Grove, where she taught first grade at Pleasant Hill Christian School. Christine also enjoyed singing, listening to music, and gardening. In addition to her loving husband, Glenn, Christine is survived by her sons, Caleb Miller, Colby Miller, Conrad Miller, Carson Miller, and Colin Miller, her brother, Nevin Lookaball, and sister-in-laws, Susan Lookaball and Ruth Elaine Keeney, and numerous nieces and nephews. She was preceded in death by her sister, Elaine Sellers, Elaine's husband, Jerry, and her brothers, Nathan Lookaball and Noah Lookaball. 2 Corinthians 5, 1-4 says this, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life." And Sister Chris is now enjoying that life. Carol and I extend our love, our prayers, our sympathy to you, Glenn, Caleb, Colby, Conrad, Carson, and Colin, and to the extended family of Sister Chris. It was very evident the respect and love that Chris had for you, Glenn, and that your mother loved you sons. She was a faithful wife and mother. With being a close friend of Glenn's in our teenage years, Carol and I were present at Glenn and Chris's wedding some 40 years ago. But Carol and I got to know Chris probably the best by attending baseball games that our sons played in together. First it was Colby and Luke, then Conrad and Kyle, and then Colin and Zach. We shared many, many times over the years, many hours of sitting together, watching our sons, and enjoying the fellowship. And I can still hear Chris calling out encouragement to the boys. There was summer ball, fall ball, and tournaments, and sometimes we even traveled together. They are precious memories. Chris was a joy for us to know. Our families became very close. We loved her too. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." And Proverbs 27:10 says, "Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not." And not only did we share a like faith in the Lord Jesus with Chris, but she was a true friend to us. In our tough times and our good times, Chris treated us the same, with love and concern. She never forsook us. In more recent years, Sister Chris, as she was known here at school, came to Pleasant Hill Christian School to be the full-time first grade teacher. I already was a full-time teacher here at school as well, so Chris became my co-worker. Matthew 19:14 says, "But Jesus said, suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Sister Chris loved her students. She loved teaching. She was not just a teacher, but she was like a mother figure to those children. She did such a great job with them. And I know if we asked Sister Chris's former students about their feelings for her, they would share how much they loved and appreciated her. While working with Sister Chris here at school, we would have some serious talks sometimes about spiritual matters, and we'd have some very lighthearted moments. Sister Chris would have her lunch with her students earlier than mine, and so she'd be out in the lunchroom ahead of me, and then when I'd go out with my students, she'd still be finishing up eating. And there were some times that we had some very hearty laughs. It was a blessing for me to serve at school with Christine the years that we did. One of the responsibilities that Chris had at school was teaching music, and especially to the younger students. Chris loved music, and she did a wonderful job of teaching that music class. And I think with Chris's love for music and her love for the Lord, I believe she would want to share the words of this song with you this morning. And so I'm going to line them for you. If I leave the world, if I leave this world of sorrow, sometime before you do, just look for me in heaven and we'll talk the ages through. But if at first you fail to see me, let me tell you where I'll be. I'll be thanking Christ my Savior for saving a wretch like me. Don't look beneath the gates of pearl. Don't look on the streets of gold. Don't look by the walls of jasper, nor among the many sights untold. For I've been longing and I've been waiting for the precious Holy One to see. There I'll be through the countless ages. Look for me at Jesus' feet. There I'll be through the countless ages. Look for me at Jesus' feet. I mentioned how Sister Chris taught here at school when she taught a music class. And at this time, the students from Pleasant Hill Christian School will sing a song in honor of Sister Chris's memory.
I want to thank the school children and Sister Barb for the job you did. You did a wonderful job. And I was told it was 100% participation, and that just shows a little bit of what they thought about Sister Chris. So thank you. Sharon and I also want to express our sympathy to the family and friends of Sister Chris. We will be praying for each of you and the extended family as you continue the grieving process of grief, but also rejoicing. We will continue to remember all of you in prayer. Brother Glenn asked me to read to you a writing called Continue On that Sister Chris loved. She had this hanging in a room. A woman once fretted over the usefulness of her life. She feared she was wasting her potential being a devoted wife and mother. She wondered if the time and energy she invested in her husband and children would make a difference. At times, she got discouraged because so much of what she did seemed to go unnoticed and unappreciated. Is it worth it? She often wondered. Is there something better that I could be doing with my time? It was during one of these moments of questioning that she heard the still small voice of her Heavenly Father speak to her heart. You are a wife and mother because that is what I have called you to be. Much of what you do is hidden from the public eye, but I notice. Most of what you give is done without remuneration, but I am your reward. Your husband cannot be the man I have called him to be without your support. Your influence upon him is greater than you think and more powerful than you will ever know. I bless him through your service and honor him through your love. Your children are precious to me, even more precious than they are to you. I have entrusted them to your care to raise them for me. What you invest in them is an offering to me. You may never be in the public spotlight, but your obedience shines as a bright light before me. Continue on. Remember that you are my servant. Do all to please me. Unquote. It was mentioned that Sister Chris was a school teacher at Pleasant Hill. She enjoyed teaching. The students enjoyed learning from her teaching. This morning, I would like to teach a sermon. Today, to honor Sister Chris, let's go to school. So sit up straight, get your paper and pencil, put on your thinking cap, and let's learn together. First up is math. Today, we want to review the numbers 1, 2, and 3. Number one, there is only one person, one name that matters. It is Jesus. Acts 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Sister Chris knew and trusted the name that matters. Do you? John 14, verse 6, Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That one name, Jesus, is the common denominator that is the same worldwide, all races and ethnic groups. All of us, if we have that name, we have eternal life in the future and peace and joy now. Without that name, we have nothing. Do you know that name, Jesus? Next, number two. Every person has two choices. Either believe in the name or reject the name. Two choices. You know, in America, we have flexibility. We have multi-choices. To get something to eat, we have a lot of choices. We can go to the restaurant and eat in or go through the drive-thru. We can use a mobile app or have it delivered. We can use the app for pickup, or we can take out and eat at home. There's so many choices. And with Christ, we try to add choices. We say we can accept, we can reject, or we can have it in our head, but not in our heart, or we can reject an application, but believe in doctrine, or we can reject now, but accept later. John 3, verse 36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. Either you believe or you reject. You believe not. Those two choices about the one name. Where are you? Why stay in rejection? Why not believe and get eternal life? Next, number three. We saw we have two choices about the one name. God exists as three distinct persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, it lists all three in one verse. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. God eternally exists as three distinct persons. But now I'm going to confuse us. Sister Chris taught that 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. But here is the Trinity exception rule of math. One God the Father plus one God the Son plus one God the Holy Spirit equals one God. Even though he exists as three eternal distinct persons, he is still one God. You were created in his image. You can know moral right and wrong. But you were also created with three distinct aspects. You have a body, a soul, and a spirit. You have three parts. And God wants us to worship him with that only name, with our body and soul and spirit. He wants all of us. In Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." God the Father gave God the Son to die for you. The Spirit draws you to choose to worship him. Where are you? In review, we did our math, one name, two choices. God is three, yet one. Next class, we want to get out our history pieces. Today's history lesson focuses on that one, that event that occurred around 2,000 years ago. The timeline is AD 33. The country this event occurred is Israel. The city is Jerusalem. The place this historical event happened is called Golgotha and sometimes Calvary. Golgotha, also known as Calvary, is 31.7738 north latitude and 35.2243 east longitude. Golgotha is best known as the place Jesus, the Son of God, died to take the punishment for my sins and the sins of the world. That is an historical fact. He died, he rose again, and he lives forevermore. I remember one time at work, someone said to me, "You know, that Ray, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ," they said, "I don't believe it ever happened." They said it was just something his followers made up. And then others repeated this myth. And maybe some of you feel that way. It's just made up. It's just made up. It's something that did not happen, and none of us were there to see it happen, so we have no way to know if it's true. Do you believe that Abraham Lincoln was assassinated? How do you know? Because of eyewitnesses who have recorded what they saw, right? They reported to others what they saw. The historical events dealing with the death and resurrection of Christ is a well-documented event. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 5 to 8, it says, "And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time." Over 500 people saw Christ was alive. There were only four people who witnessed Abraham Lincoln getting assassinated. The historical event involving that one name above all names requires you to make one of two choices. Either say, in faith, I believe my Lord and my God, or say, I refuse. And your refusal will not change history, but it will change your future. Next in our paces, let's turn to our study of the alphabet. Sister Chris, over the last couple years, she used the Christian Light curriculum to teach the alphabet. I want to go over a couple of the letters using the New England Primer edition. This was written in the 1700s, and it was to teach children. There was catchy phrases to help the first graders learn the letters of the alphabet. So we're going to practice A, B, C, and then we're going to skip to T. A, Adam. In Adam's fall, we sinned all. B, Bible. Heaven to find the Bible mind. C, Christ. Christ crucified for sinners died. T, time. Time cuts down both great and small. A, Adam. His sin, you inherit it. You were not born free from evil. We have a sin nature inherited from Adam. You were born needing a Savior. See, Christ. Christ crucified for sinners died. Jesus, that one name, became the second Adam, but without sin. B, Bible. Heaven to find, the Bible mind. The Bible leads us to know our sins. The Bible leads us to faith in Jesus. The Bible leads us to live a life of joy and peace. T, time. Time cuts down both great and small. Each of us here, unless the Lord returns again, we will face death. The New England Primer, also in its literature, introduced a prayer that many children memorized. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Because of A, Adam, your sin, because you have you ever asked C, Christ, to save your soul to keep? Did you surrender to that name? It's one of two choices about that one name. Before T, time cuts down, go to see Christ. So class, let's review. In math, we saw the one name with two choices. We saw that God is three in one, and we need to worship him with our body, soul, and spirit. In history, we saw the crucifixion and resurrection are historical events that are central to the two choices. And with the alphabet, we saw that in Adam's fall, we fell all. And C, using Christ, in Christ, using B, book, it leads us to salvation. Next, as a class, let's practice our colors. First of all, black. In Adam's fall, our hearts became black and dark. John 3, verse 19, and this is a condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. In Romans 1, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish hearts were darkened. In Romans 7, verse 18, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I know not. In Ephesians 4, verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through their ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts. In all this darkness, there is hope in see Christ crucified and raised. Let's look at white. In Isaiah 1, verse 18, Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. In Psalms 51, verse 7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be what? Whiter than snow. The blood of Christ, through faith in the name, well, God sees us as pure and white. Revelation 7, verse 14. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. God imputes his righteousness to us. Romans 3, verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ, unto all, upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of the sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time the righteousness that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in that one name. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We are made white through faith in Jesus Christ. But it doesn't stop there. Our faith in the Lord brings an actual life of righteousness, a life that is pleasing to God. In faith, we repent and we turn to God and seek to live in righteousness. Through Adam's fall, to faith in Christ crucified, through the book, God turns our lives from black to white. Isn't that a miracle? Let's move to our science lesson. I think science was always my favorite class at school. Today we want to learn about a process called metamorphosis. Metamorphosis is the process where a caterpillar turns into a butterfly. Each of you saw ugly caterpillars, and you saw beautiful butterflies. Can you believe that that butterfly was once a caterpillar? And this change from a caterpillar to a butterfly, it's called metamorphosis. The first stage is the butterfly lays an egg, and that egg turns into a little caterpillar. Secondly, the caterpillar just eats and eats and eats and eats and eats more. And they eat so much that they shed their skin 4 to 5 times, and they just keep growing. And the third stage, the caterpillar attaches itself upside down to a plant. And it then forms a hard outer layer around it, and this is called a chrysalis. And inside the chrysalis, it's now called a pupa. And so inside the chrysalis, the body is transforming. Because the caterpillar had to release digestive juices, and it breaks down most of their body into a tissue cell soup. And it then develops 4 wings, new legs, and eyes. But then when it's fully changed into a butterfly, it splits the chrysalis open, and it hangs upside down to dry out. That's a miracle, isn't it? And it's designed by God. Do you want to know about the metamorphosis that God has designed for Christians? In Romans 12, verse 2, it says, And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The word transformed there is the Greek word metamorpho. It's where we get the word metamorphosis. In Christ, you see, we have a transformed, metamorphosed mindset. We go from crawling, dirty mindsets to one that is beautiful and it flies high. But it's not just that. In Matthew 17, verse 2, it says, and Jesus, talking about Jesus, he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was as white as the light. The word was transfigured is the same, metamorpho. The appearance, his body was changed, it was transformed. And after Christ arose from the dead, he had a new body. He could go through walls. He could be wherever he wanted in an instant. His body didn't get old or get cancer or disease or colds. Jesus had a new metamorphosed body. Now, here is a really neat verse. In Philippians 3, verse 21, it says, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his, Jesus' glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Our bodies will be metamorphosed like Jesus. Someday, Sister Chris will have that new body. In 1 Corinthians 15, 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. In the name of Jesus, that one name, death is swallowed in victory. What choices have we made? We want to next do your favorite, you the students, your favorite subject. And I know that is parts of speech. We want to identify the nouns, the verbs, and adjectives in Romans 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The nouns, you know, that it's a person, place, or thing. If thou, that's a noun, and it's talking about you. Mouth is a noun, that's part of you. Jesus is a noun, the word heart and God are nouns. But we see verbs here, and verbs are action words. We see the action God did. It said, hath raised is a verb. God, noun, hath raised, a verb, Jesus. It gives two verbs. Now, these are actions for thou, which is you and me. It says, shalt confess and shalt believe. Now, what is thou to confess in order to be saved? Well, it says he has to confess the Lord Jesus. Lord is a noun, but it can also be used as an adjective. It describes what Jesus is. Lord means authority. It means ruler. It implies he is to be listened to and obeyed. So to be saved involves the action of a mindset of submission to the lordship of Christ. Let me repeat that. To be saved involves the action of a mindset of submission to the lordship of Christ. It involves repenting from our sins, turning from wrong, and turning to Christ. The other verb involves the noun, involving the noun now, is shalt believe. Believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead. There are many people that believe Christ was a good prophet. Many believe that he was a good moral man. But if you believe that historical event from 2,000 years ago, if you believed it really happened, then you have no choice but to call Jesus my Lord and my God. Romans 1, verse 3 and 4 says, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with a power according to the Spirit of holiness. How was this declared? By the resurrection from the dead. If you're terribly sick, and if you go to a doctor, and you ask him, and if he tells you how to be healed, he tells you to do something that's very difficult to do. If that happens, what is the criteria for you to actually do what he does, what he asks you to do, that is very difficult. You will do it if you believe he has authority as a doctor. If you see him, that he is a doctor with a capital D, he is the real thing. You will do whatever he asks of you. When a person by the Holy Spirit views Jesus, he has two choices. Is he Lord? Is he God? Did he really get raised from the dead? If Jesus is really Lord and God, we will bow down to him. We submit to his authority. We can mentally assent to all the right doctrine about Christ, but we are not saved unless we believe in him. So everything revolves around that one name. In that one name, we have two choices, accept or reject. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit desires we worship him with our whole body. And history shows he died and rose again. And even though in Adam's fall, we fell all, even so, Christ crucified for sinners died. And the Bible in mind shows us his will. And time cuts us down, both great and small. What happens after time cuts us down? We want to close our lesson today by studying briefly opposites and similitudes. Opposites is a term referring to things that are drastically different in nature or meaning, such as light and dark, good and evil. Similitude refers to characteristics that are similar. An apple is similar to a nectarine in that they both are fruits. Today we want to look at just one opposite in our study, and that is the opposites of heaven and hell. Heaven is a place for those who confess the Lord Jesus. Hell is the place for those who deny the Lord Jesus. John 3, verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Let's look briefly at some differences, opposites. Heaven has living water. Hell has no water. Heaven has God's presence. Hell is absence from God's presence. Heaven has our saved loved ones and restored relationships. Hell is isolation and loneliness. Heaven is freedom from sin, from pain and sin. Revelation 7, verse 15. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb of God, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them into living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Hell is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hell is darkness. Heaven is bright with light. Heaven has singing. Hell is just wailing in pain. Heaven and hell are opposites. But I did find they have some similar traits. In both heaven and hell, the soul's heir will be there for eternity in both places. They are similar in that they are both places were created by God for his purpose. In heaven, they have changed bodies. Bodies that are far superior makeup. But in scripture, it indicates that in hell, they will also have different bodies. But it will be bodies that are dying, but are never consumed. It's an eternal death. It's an eternal dying. It's horrible. Another similitude. Everyone is where they are in heaven or hell because of a choice they made. I want to ask, where are you? Do you believe that Jesus is Lord? Have you confessed him as Lord? Heaven or hell? How did you do in today's lesson? If any of you want to talk about aspects of this lesson, maybe at the fellowship meal or some other place, talk to me or Dwayne. I know Glenn would be glad to talk to you. Let's have freedom to talk. It's choices that are eternal. I want to invite Glenn and the family. I want to invite each of you to the committal service. Also, each of you are invited for a meal. It's at Garber's Mennonite School. It was formerly known as Ebenezer's. And the address is 6560 York Road, Spring Grove. That's 6560 York Road, Spring Grove. At this time, we're going to sing number 122 in the Green Book, and then we'll turn the service over to the undertakers for dismissal.